Now, I once went to an amateur production of Macbeth in Preston, and the man playing the title role said the words, "Is this not a dagger I see before me, the handle towards my hand?" And the audience laughed at that classic Lancashire trope. But that man could have been closer to linguistic truth than he thought, because the actilly accents we've come to recognise as classic Shakespearean delivery are probably not what the bard himself would recognise. Writer and actor Ben Crystal is stepping onto the stage this week at the Globe Theatre to bring an insight into Shakespearean pronunciation to audiences, and he's stepping up to the verb table now. So this thing about Shakespearean pronunciation, Ben, what actually is that?
Well, we've tried to work out, in fact, it's my father, actually. My father, David Crystal, spent some time at the Globe a couple of years ago because they wanted to perform Shakespeare in as close to the original accent as possible. Mm. And so we worked out what that would have sounded like. I mean, considering the standard accent that you talked about there, received pronunciation, the Queen's English, you know, from Mules of Fire and all that kind of thing. has only been around about 100 years or so, and it was made, you know, it's a man-made accent, it's not a natural accent. And in Shakespeare's time, you know, the late sort of 16th century, early 17th century, London would have been a melting pot of accents. So it would have sounded, there would have been mixtures of accents from all over the country, bits of Warwickshire, bits of West Country, bits of Scottish, bits of Irish, of course. And then those accents obviously sort of left London and started colonising the place. And so it also sounds a little bit like, you know, American and Australian too.
Can we hear some?
Oh, I think we could probably do a little bit if you like.
Go on, just a little bit.
Okay. This is from the opening prologue to Romeo and Juliet, which I'm sure probably most people have heard, you know, the two households both alike in dignity and so on and so forth. Two households both alike in dignity, in fair Verona where we lay our sin, from ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. From forth the fatal loins of theirs two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life, whose misadventured bitious overthrows doth with their death bury their parents' strife.
Blimey, you're right. You can hear all kinds of things in there, can't you?
It's really spooky, isn't it?
As you say, a bit of West Country.
Yeah.
A bit of, I don't know, a bit of Lancashire.
Yeah,
a bit of Lancashire.
Yeah.
And a bit of kind of Middle English. It's something.
It sounds a little bit like when you hear, you know, Chaucer spoken sometimes, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, I mean, and indeed it was all of those things. And it's also faster. You know, I mean, I was speaking quite quickly there, where, you know, instead of where civil blood makes civil hands unclean, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean.
Mm. Okay.
And later, you know, straight on in that speech, he says, is no the 2 hours traffic of our stage, is now the 2 hours traffic of our stage. And it's because they spoke quicker. None of this productions of Shakespeare that are 3¾ hours long, you know, it would have been 2 hours.
And how do we really know this is how they sounded? That's what intrigues me.
We worked it out to about 80% right. From a number of different things, we know that in this speech, for example, the fearful passage of their death marked love, which but their children's end naught could remove. Mm. So either it's remove and louve,
right,
or
yeah,
love and remove. And we know that no one has ever pronounced love as louve. So we know that from that rhyme that the sound in is move, remove and love.
So the rhymes that sometimes sound a bit odd and a bit false when we hear actors doing them are actually, they're getting it wrong in that sense.
Well, they would have rhymed, yeah. And then there's also, you could, from the spellings, in Mercutio's speech in Romeo and Juliet, again, and his Queen Mab speech, in the first folio, the collection of Shakespeare's plays that they put together just after Shakespeare died, film is spelt P-H-I-L-O-M-E. Mm. It's a two-syllable word. And then if you think, well, if I pronounce film as a two-syllable word, film. Oh, I'm going to see the film tonight.
It's just like the Irish.
It's just like the Irish. They've still got the Elizabethan pronunciation of that word. And then there were linguists at the time, philologists at the time, that would write down, we pronounce this word R, you know, we pronounce the sound R. And we don't know whether it was a uvular R, like R, or a trill at the front, like a R, I say. But we know that they pronounced it. And you can get about 80% right then. And then the rest, you bring your own accent to it. So that's probably why you heard Lancaster, because I went to university up there.
So when you would see a play then, would they, if you had a king on stage, would they then do a kind of mock kingly accent within that, do you think?
Well, this is really interesting. I mean, the idea of being able to determine your social class or your background from the way you speak, from the accent you use, it would have been alien to them. It's a relatively recent thing,
really?
Too.
Yeah.
So they would have, in order to show that a king was a king or rather than a peasant or whatever, they would have given him a crown and told him to act like a king, act regally. You
but
know,
he might have sounded the
but
same.
But he would have sounded exactly the same, which is really interesting because then you think, you know, they're using this sort of fancy poetry and they're up on a stage and they've got these great costumes and that, but they're still really essentially just sounding like you and me. They're using the same sort of voice. But there's a practical sense for me as an actor as well, because it makes sense of some of the jokes.
Mm.
There's a speech in As You Like It by the melancholy Jacques, and he comes back from being in the forest, and he says to the Duke, "I've just seen this fool, and he made me laugh. He made me laugh so hard I laughed for an hour," because he says... The fool says, "It's 10 o'clock, thus we may see how the world wags. 'Tis but an hour ago since it was 9, and after 1 hour more 'twill be 11. And so from hour to hour we ripe, and from hour to hour we rot and rot, and thereby hangs a tale." And he says he laughs for an hour for that. And you know, the last time I saw a production of As You Like It, they did that speech, just, you know, very straight. And all around it, they were doing sort of breast jokes and bum jokes and all this kind of thing all over the place, and putting in sex jokes where there were not. Whereas, in fact, this is a sex joke. Mm. Hour was pronounced or in Shakespeare's time. And the word for whore, for prostitute, was also pronounced or.
Oh, blimey. So it's like a lost pun.
So from or to or, we ripe and ripe. And from or to or, we rot and rot. And thereby hangs a tale. You know, it's a really rude sex joke that's completely missed. And so much of the, you know, Shakespeare wrote so many jokes into the sounds of the language. He was fascinated with sound and with language, it seems.
So it's a bit like what Barry Rutter does with his Northern Broadsides productions, where he says, let's do it in Northern accents, which is specific. But what you're doing is a step further, because... You're peeling it. It's like when you restore a painting and you peel away some layers.
You peel away. And by listening to, you know, the original sound and placing it back into, you know, like the Globe, a theatre that the plays were written for, it really does open it up to an aspect that most audiences these days are missing.
Yeah. Let's hear one more bit then.
Yeah, sure, of course. A bit of Oberon from Midsummer Night's Dream. Fleur of this purple dye, het with Cupid's archery, sink an apple of his eye. Let her shine as gloriously as Venus of the sky. Win the weakest, if she be boy, beg of her for remedy.
Fantastic. Thank you very much to Ben Crystal. And Ben and his dad, David, are appearing at the Story of London Festival on the 22nd of June to talk about Shakespearean pronunciation and Shakespearean insults and much more. Go to shakespeares-globe.org for tickets. And Shakespeare on Toast is out now.